In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Good afternoon and welcome into the Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. My name is Rob Sanders. Happy to be back in the studios here on Greystone Boulevard. We're going to head out to the phone and welcome in friend of the program, the broadcasting extraordinaire, Kevin Fitzgerald. Kevin, thanks for joining us on the Rundown, man. I appreciate you making some time for us today.
Thanks for the invite, Rob. Good to talk with you.
It's great to have you with us, and I have to ask, you know, it's you are a guy that depends on sports, and it's just been kind of one of the weirdest summers during your broadcasting career. Would you agree?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think so, and I think for many other people as well. How nice was it to see some baseball on our TV screens over the weekend? I mean, that was fantastic. I kind of liked it. No fans in the seats. Baseball is pretty relaxing. You can kind of hear the crack of the bat. You can hear the some of the chatter. So it's kind of like a Columbia Fireflies game on a Monday night when it's in the 13th inning. There's just nobody in the seats.
Are you a fan of of them pumping crowd noise into the studios when we actually are into the studios, into the game, once we get to a point where we have some actual real major league games this week?
Yeah, I don't mind that. And, you know, I watched my Mets and my Yankees this weekend, and, you know, that was kind of the quote unquote home field sound or home field advantage and home team sound, so on and so forth. So I have no problem if the stadium ops team or the organization, I suppose, pipes in some songs, or, you know, I think Aaron Judge went yard yesterday and you could hear the faux noise and cheering from the faux fans, I'm okay with that. I always thought the idea of the networks pumping in the faux crowd noise underneath the actual call of the game, I always thought that was odd, because we all know what's happening. I mean, I don't think I personally would ever say I don't feel comfortable watching this because there's no crowd. I mean, we all know what COVID is. We all know the reasons why. We all know what the protocols are. So, but I'm definitely okay if the stadium or the organization decides to do that, especially when we push into the football season. Assuming everything at least goes off or starts without a hitch, I'm definitely okay with that. I think you add in some of the hometown quote unquote sounds. No problem with that at all.
It just seems like it's going to be a little thin, but I mean, obviously I'm looking forward to some Major League Baseball, but can you tell us a little bit about your summer without having to hit the road as much? Are you still, and not to get too crazy personally, you're still a hole up in Columbia. I did see where you had some of your old baseball hats out on Twitter. How has your summer been going?
Well, it's been just fine, all things considered. And I'm like everybody else, and you mentioned it a moment ago, boy, I would trade maybe anything right now to be at the yard or to be in an arena or stadium or so on and so forth. So I've actually kind of filled the schedule pretty nicely here. It was, you know, the first month or so of this, I think things clearly were moving at a leisurely pace compared to what you and I are typically experiencing or typically used to. I can definitely say the golf game has certainly improved for the first time in like a decade. But it's funny you ask. I'm actually going to start a little Q&A podcast series with some of my contacts around the basketball universe, if you will. So I think everybody is going to kind of be tasked with just, hey, what else what else can we do now without the games? And I kind of wanted to begin this project. So I think all of us will be figuring out some new and creative projects, if you will, until everything does return and to normal, especially those that, you know, I primarily cover college football, college basketball, baseball, so on and so forth. But at this point, yeah, I'm itching to get back to some semblance of normal. It's kind of why I wanted to start this. We always say the word podcast. I almost view this as like an interview series. I want the voices and the guests that I have on to shine. So look out for it.
I was going to say, when will this happen? Because I want to be the first subscriber, my friend.
Well, you are very kind. Pretty imminent. It's kind of still in the quote unquote planning stages, but you will be notified, no doubt, once it becomes a reality for sure.
A couple more questions with Kevin Fitzgerald this afternoon. What effect do you think that not having minor league baseball will have on the major league teams this season?
Yeah, that's a great question. The news came down, I believe it was some point last month, about no minor league baseball. And think about just the sheer vastness of it, the numbers that are involved in minor league ball. Now, things appear to be changing on this front, but in the past, each major league franchise had anywhere from, what, 7 to 9 minor league affiliates, and that's not even counting the Dominican Summer League, the Dominican Summer Complexes and leagues that operate and some of these Gulf Coast leagues, or I should say kind of lower level rookie leagues as well. So think about just the sheer numbers involved. There's a lot of baseball players that for the first time, you know, you could have a 28-year-old minor leaguer, you could have a 19-year-old minor leaguer. So depending on who you talk to, this is the first summer without live baseball, without a baseball player playing a game. And it could be a decade, it could be multiple years. So it's. I think it's going to certainly affect, you know, what we see on the diamond next year. You know, what are these games going to look like? A lot of it is going to come down to which players and which players were kind of trained the best in all of this time. You know, which ones had access to cages or to fields or to training facilities, and are they operating in your state? Were they not operating in your state? So on and so forth. So I think the product will be affected in some form or fashion moving forward, but I mean, you have thousands of professional baseball players, former minor leaguers, that right now are not playing baseball and are going to go basically more than a year without playing like a live organized game. So I think it clearly is going to impact the livelihood of those players. And then you wonder how that will translate next year when everybody gets back onto the field.
Of course, I know you're in the you want to be in the broadcast booth, but you spent a ton of time on the road when you worked with the Columbia Fireflies. What do you think about with minor league season going away? How will that affect some of the minor league towns?
That's going to be the worst part in all this is exactly that. I mean, that is going to be the dire blow, is that there's going to be a lot of communities that they're not going to lose their team per se, but you may have some communities basically lose that major league affiliation. And so again, it's not like the baseball is totally wiped out, but if things are kind of funneling down, and if the affiliates, if this plan that has been proposed now for quite a while is carried out, you know, each major league franchise may lose anywhere from 3 to 5 affiliations, and that means 3 to 5 communities, right? So it certainly hurts from that regard, and it is. I think it's going to be an adjustment. You know, there was for some of the communities around the country, there is a that's a unique element to get to have attached to your team. you know, these stars that you see at the big league level played here. They started here. And you may lose that. So I hate to hear it for the communities, but it will be kind of as simple as just losing that connection to a Major League Baseball franchise. And while there are, you know, it's not like the teams can still operate independently. They can operate in kind of a college wood bat sense as well. But all that will play out once those decisions are made. It's going to hurt the communities big time, and I hate to see it.
What do you think are going to be some of the big differences for the major league players this upcoming season? We talked about the crowd noise, but I think just the way that they travel and even the way that they eat is going to change. Don't you agree?
Yeah, and we saw it a couple of days ago over the weekend. Just for the first time, when have you seen a dugout look as fascinating as it did, a couple of days ago? Most of the coaches are wearing masks. Most of the players, you know, if not all, are not shaking hands. They're not high-fiving. Clint Frazier has decided to wear a mask, not just while he's in the dugout, but while he is on the field playing for the Yankees as well. You know, there are going to be pretty strict protocols put in place by all these organizations, and it's no longer a guideline thing. I think these are very firm protocols, because if you want this season to carry out, and we want to do it without any hitches, then there's going to be some strict protocols that are going to be put in place. I mean, players are going to have to try to distance as best they possibly can. It's all about limiting the things that you previously did to stop any sort of spread. And remember, the testing that is available for these major league franchises is certainly vast, and that's what it's going to take to have this season play out, finish. Can we crown a World Series champ and do it without any hiccups?
You know, speaking of which, we've already kind of had a hiccup. If you're an Atlanta Braves fan, they were set to sign Yasiel Puig. He tests positive for the coronavirus, and, you know, the dominoes kind of fall. They had Nick Markakis, who decided he wasn't going to play, so the Braves wanted another bat. They think they're getting another bat in Yasiel Puig. He tests positive, and now that's gone, and that's completely wiped. I mean, is it tough? How tough is it going to be for a team to actually have to go out and say pick up somebody at game 45 if they have some injuries? I mean, just bringing somebody else into the quote-unquote bubble is going to be tough.
Yeah, it's. I mean, these franchises are being faced with, or they're being asked to coordinate contingency plans to like the nth degree. They must answer questions and have strategies and protocols ready for even the scenarios with even the lowest of likelihoods to even happen. And so that's obviously something you run the risk of right now is, okay, a player who does test positive, what's our backup plan? What's our next move? Even in the NBA bubble as well, there are many, these teams are allowed to basically have a crop of quote unquote substitute players available should anything, as you just outlined, actually happen. And I think that's the term they're using, substitute players. Like you're going to have players ready to go in case the worst does happen, and then that's a player testing positive. And of course that player must then quarantine or remain isolated for a certain period of time. So you're definitely going to have to prepare for these contingency plans that you never had to prepare for before.
Let's transition to the NBA for just a moment. And I ask this because I think that they're going to, they're going to get underway here at the end of July, I think is the startup date for the NBA, but they're supposedly in their bubble down at Walt Disney World. Do you question the integrity of the bubble? And I ask because I've seen different things online where guys were complaining about the food. Certain ladies have said they've already been invited to the bubble. I'm not buying that this bubble thing is going to work for the NBA. How do you feel about that?
Well, I disagree to a certain extent. I mean, to be honest, I think it's a I'll put it this way. If you have a league operating in a bubble and you have a league like Major League Baseball that isn't, I would actually bet money on the bubble because you, like travel, moving across the country, that is completely removed from the equation. Look, these players can invite they can attempt to invite their friends if they will, but it seems pretty strict whether or not they be getting in or not. From what I've read, it's operating quite nicely right now and operating quite smoothly. Sure, you've got Disney employees and cast members that, of course, are the only ones that are traveling in and out of the bubble. Those employees and workers are not quarantined this entire time like the players and coaches are at their various hotels and bubble locations. But there seems to be some pretty strict regulations in place. There's not much interaction between employees and players. I was listening to a good podcast recently about how, you know, you've got workers that they could be walking the opposite direction of a player, or if they were about to pass by one another, the employee will walk to the side. I think there's a good system in place down in Orlando, basically because this is kind of a sterile environment. Everybody who is in that bubble has tested negative. And to our knowledge, has continued to test negative because I believe the tests from the NBA standpoint is every other day at this point. So it seems pretty secure. It seems pretty sterile. It looks like things are moving quite nicely right now. And I would bet on that ecosystem working because the travel is completely taken out of the equation. Whereas apparently for Major League Baseball, right? I mean, there will be travel to other cities, to other communities. I would actually bet on the NBA ecosystem than the others at this point.
Let's talk about college athletics before we let you go. Kevin Fitzgerald, of course, works with ESPN and is all over the place doing all kinds of great broadcasting. We're going to start a podcast or an interview series. That's what he wants it to be called, but we're looking forward to that. But do you think that with the NCAA coming out with their guidelines last week, that for college athletics to return, that 3 days before a game, everybody has to be tested. And if someone tests positive, that kind of puts the whole team in quarantine. Are we trending towards possibly moving football to the spring just to give it some more time?
That's a tough one. And here's why I think so. Andy Staples had a really good article about this at the Athletic, on the Athletic not long ago. I believe it was last week when he wrote this. It's, you've got to have clear assurance, though, that this spring schedule is going to happen, which that alone is very difficult to bet on right now. And I think you've got to have some guaranteed assurance of that spring schedule operating, because remember, Your business will be operating, and what do I mean by business? Just the athletic department in general. You know, there will be costs, there will be salaries, there will be scholarship money on the books, and if all that's on the books, you bet you need that season to happen. If there is even a probability that it won't happen, imagine the expenses that will accumulate in the fall and then a portion of the spring to then have your bubble pop. To have the quote unquote cash cow pop, if you don't have some sort of a guarantee. I think we're going to have a pretty significant or a pretty cut and dry path one way or the other, whether or not college football is going to work in 2020 or 21. It's difficult because cuts are going to have to be made. Remember the financial implications and just finance that the finances that a college football season brings for an athletic department in general. So I think you would really need some major and clear-cut assurance that the spring season was absolutely going to happen before you can make any other major decisions about things moving forward.
It's a tough road to hoe for all the athletic directors and of course the commissioners across the board. And it's just one of the weirdest sports years ever. But Kevin, tell folks where they can find you on Twitter to keep up with you there, and obviously we want you to come back on to promote your new podcast once you get it moving. How's that sound?
Hey, of course, I appreciate that. Yeah, give me a follow, Kevin T. Fitz on Twitter.
All right, Kevin, once again, man, thank you for taking some time out with us today here on The Rundown. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Talk to you soon.
Kevin Fitzgerald joining us on The Rundown this afternoon. Every time I talk with him, I feel like I learned something a little bit here. So, yeah, if you want to respond to what Kevin said about Major League Baseball, the economy with the minor league teams not being able to play, what you think the Major League Baseball season is going to look like. I am in studio today. I will take your calls at 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you want to join us on The Rundown this afternoon. Raining pretty heavy here on Greystone. I can hear the thunder popping above my head. Kind of crazy out there. Be sure you drive safe this afternoon. By the way, don't forget about Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk. He's on from 4 to 6 today. In addition to my buddy Teddy Hefner, he's on from 9 to noon every day. So be sure to check out those fine radio programs as you maneuver around during what we're all dealing with here with the COVID-19. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll head out to the phones. And we'll take your calls. Also, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sounds Good. But more of The Rundown when we come back. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400.